Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. This is not what you would call a typical Christmas-themed scripture. As a matter of fact, this particular scripture came up in our discussion at Bible study last Sunday night for our young adults. And we've had some great conversations, by the way. I hope that you would be open to attending. Tonight, I believe we're going back to Josh and Danielle's. Is that how we have it listed? And so if you're able to come at 7 o'clock tonight, we'll have a great conversation about the Word of God once again. It's been a blessing. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. Whoops, I'm in 2 Peter. That's not going to work. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. Let's start with verse 3. Why not? Oh, no way. Let's go with 4. Just so you know, I have a cold. And I'm not on medication right now, but I slept with some, and it's still kind of buzzing my head, I guess. I don't know. So if I get off on a tangent, I apologize ahead of time. As you come to him, the living stone. Isn't that a great beginning right there? We are able to come to the living stone. He's been rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's a great introductory portion of our lesson for the day. It says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." We talked about building on the rock, that you can build your house on him, and it will not be blown down. It will not get washed away. We have something that is solid that will be eternally strong. And that's a great, great understanding of coming to Christ. However, as we continue to read, we see more. It says, "Now to you who believe, this stone is precious." Everyone says amen. Amen. He is precious to us. "To those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone." In other words, that's not a great amen statement right there. Verse 8, "And the stone that causes men to stumble, a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for." Now that's a mouthful right there. And we certainly got some good conversations about those verses. "But you," verse 9 says, "are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." What a great promise that is. You're chosen. You did not choose him. He chose you. You accepted. Amen? Verse 10 says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful that we can come to you. The builders rejected you. The righteous, religious, self-righteous, really. The leaders of the temple. The leaders of what was known to be the true faith at that time rejected you. The Word who had become flesh. The virgin-birthed child. The one who was sinless. That grew up and never crossed mom or dad in a negative, sinful way. They rejected you. And yet, Lord, we come to you. We're thankful that not only have we come to you because you've called us, but you have blessed us with your presence, that your Spirit now lives within us. We are the temple of your Holy Spirit. And now because of your presence within us, as those who have your Spirit within, we are the royal priesthood. We are the chosen people to declare your goodness. And we're thankful, Lord, that as we declare these truths, that we, as we recognize why you came, we can celebrate with sincerity and with truthfulness this coming season that we call Christmas. We're thankful, Lord, that we can honor you and that we can bless your holy name. And I pray, God, that as we look to your word, that you will anoint us all. Anoint me, Lord, to hear what you have to say so that I can speak it clearly. Help me to speak your words of truth and help us all to hear them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The title may seem a little odd, but it's one that I felt inspired to write. Everyone loves Christmas. I want to ask you this question. Why is it that everyone seems to love Christmas? And there's a multitude of answers that you could give, so don't shout them out. We would be here all day, right? But just rhetorically, not necessarily looking for a response specifically, why is it? Ask yourself this question. Why is it that everyone seems to love Christmas? Honestly, in this day that we live, in this world, in this America, if you will, because specifically I want to talk about America, but certainly worldwide, the reality is if you go to certain portions of the world, Christmas is not loved. Christmas is not celebrated. As a matter of fact, it's hated very strongly for reasons that we also rejoice. And that's what we're going to bear out today. But here in America, why aren't there marches at the Capitol to protest Christmas celebrations? Why not? There should be. I mean, we march about everything else. Why aren't we marching on Capitol Hill or at the White House and saying, stop with the Christmas, take it off the calendar? We ought to, if we're truly American in this modern day and culture, not specifically you and I, because we've come to the stone that the builders rejected, and we have bowed to him, we've submitted to him. But for those who are not saved, for those who do not come to the stone the builders rejected, he has become the capstone over them. He has broken them in a way that's not very wonderful and exciting. Why are we not offended? Well, we know that there are certain things that have happened. We like to say happy holidays now, because Christmas does seem to rub us the wrong way in America, doesn't it? I do bless the president for making Christmas a specific statement. It's been a while since we've heard that. And I don't know if you saw the video that him and the president's wife, I forget her name offhand, they put out a nice video about Christmas and what it really means. It's pretty cool. You know, I'm no pastor that rubs shoulders with President Trump, and I can't declare to you his faith. That's between him and God, but I do thank him for expressing my faith. At least I can do that, and I hope that he knows him personally also. But why are we not marching on Capitol and making a big deal? You would think that God becoming flesh and living among us in the person of Jesus Christ, that he alone is the mediator between God and man, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him, would be the ultimate of all offenses in our ever-increasing secularized America. Why? Why does Christmas appear to be loved by so many who don't believe? Unfortunately, the message of Christmas in our society has lost its message. And in most cases, all relevance. I want to challenge you, as you celebrate the baby in the manger, don't forget why he is relevant. Don't forget why he came. I want to ask this question because I hear it all the time now. And I'm going to say something, some of you will be greatly offended. I hear it when I don't have a choice on the Hallmark Channel. Lord help us, the Hallmark Channel. Since July of 2018, according to what I've been told, they've been doing Christmas movies 24/7.
How can you put up with it so long? Come on, people. My goodness, they're all the same story. Tina cannot watch it with me in the room because it's just, I'll sit down and I said, so you want to know the end yet? It's like, I'll tell you what's going to, she goes, I already know what's going to happen. Then why? Why watch? But here you have the spirit of Christmas makes it all better. What is the spirit of Christmas? What really is that? It's not red and white colors and candy canes and trees and mistletoe and Yule logs and Santa Claus and reindeer and Grinches and all that stuff. If you want to know my honest opinion, which maybe, like I said, it could offend you, the spirit of Christmas is demonic. Because it takes you from Christ. This whole concept of the love around, you know, I've celebrated 48 years of Christmas. I have yet experienced what they have in the movies. I have yet to experience that. This fantasy make-believe spirit of Christmas stuff. Let me tell you what Christmas is. It's a baby that was born without having had relations with the Father. It was a virgin birth for the purpose of coming to be sinless so that he could die on a cross for you to give us the only way to the Father. There's nothing more offensive than that. And yet we celebrate the spirit of Christmas that's a big lie. We come together and we celebrate something that's just fake and unreal. It's made up and it's a fantasy and it takes us from Christ. That's what I really think. And I'm sorry. It sometimes doesn't come across very well. And in my home, I am the Grinch. I am. I love Christmas, don't get me wrong. And I remember growing up, and I remember getting the most awesome little handheld device that was electronic. It took a 9-volt battery. I put it in, and it had these little lines with a football field, and you'd push those little lines across. It was a football game. How many got one of those for Christmas? Wasn't that awesome? There's a picture of me standing in the background. I'm zoned in. I'm playing football. Wow, this is amazing. I remember the little racetrack that you pull the trigger on that little thing that's hooked up and zzz, you go too fast, you fly right off the track. Remember those things? Fun times. But you know, those things are vague in my memory. Because what I remember is sitting around reading from the Word of God and listening to testimonies of God's goodness and having my grandparents pray over us because of the birth of Christ. It was, in all truthfulness, one of the best Christian services I would ever attend on a yearly basis. Remember my best friend who didn't grow up in a Christian home told me a story about how he saw Rudolph coming. He just knew, here comes my presence. He had looked out the window. He was just a little guy, and he looked out the window, and he saw that flashing red light going across the sky. And he was so excited. He took off running through the house. Mommy, 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 Santa's coming, Santa's coming. And he tripped and fell, hit his head on the corner of one of the nightstands or the end table in the living room, split his head wide open, went to the ER. I said, see, that's what Rudolph does. he figured out later that it was probably a plane that flew overhead. Isn't that sad? Oh, everybody say, oh, poor Chad. I love this story. I thought I would laugh so hard. I thought it was great. Spirit of Christmas, what is it really? Is it Santa Claus? Is it reindeer? Is it presents? Is it a Christmas tree? Is it family gatherings? Is it friendship? Is it food? We all like to have that food. My house was kind of odd. We have a lot of Puerto Ricans in my family, so we usually had beans and rice and some kind of fajitas with steak or chicken or different things cut up, and that was our traditional Christmas meal. Yum, right? Lou says, amen. Good stuff. Spice it up a little bit. I didn't even know what turkey tasted like for years. We didn't have turkey very often.
Many are trying to take Christ out of Christmas today, but in a way we kind of help them do it. The spirit of Christmas is offensive to the world. So why is it that everyone loves Christmas? It's a ploy of the enemy to take us away from the true message. And in many ways, he's been successful. And I want to challenge you to not let it happen in your home. Don't worry about the gifts. Don't make it such a big deal. Make Christ the center of your home. And you'll never be disappointed. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 8. So if everybody loves Christmas in this so-called spirit of Christmas, does everybody love Jesus? Well, we know the obvious answer to that. But let's look at the Word of God, shall we? Isaiah chapter 8. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. And he will be a sanctuary both for both houses of Israel. He will be a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. That doesn't sound so inviting now, does it? If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, this stone that the builders rejected is referenced. It says the Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. A stumbling block. Foolishness. The wisdom of fools we talked about. Amen? And yet we all love Christmas. Why is that? The Lord Almighty is the one to be regarded as holy. It says in the Word of God, as we declare, he is the one to fear. He is the one that ought to be dreaded, if you will. How or why should we dread him? Only if we are lost in our sin. We have a confidence to enter the most holy of holies through the blood of Christ, Hebrews tells us. And yet, if we do not have the covering of his blood, then we should be fearful of him. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. He was an offense to his hometown even while he was living. Imagine that. Not only was he an offense to his hometown, but he also was an offense to his own family. Some people are amazed at this passage, and I like to bring it out to reveal to you that things weren't always all that smooth, even when Jesus was doing the will of his Father. Matthew 13, verse 54. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James and Joseph, Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. Now, up until that last statement, this sounds like a pretty good introduction to the guest speaker for the night, right? Is this not the man that came from this small town of Nazareth? Is he not the carpenter's son? His mother's name is Mary. Here's all his sisters and brothers. And look at all these miraculous things. Your keynote speaker for the night is Jesus of Nazareth. Welcome him. But no, they took offense. Who does he think he is that he is able to do these things? Under what power, what authority? Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. Pretty amazing. In his hometown and his own house, he was not honored as he ought to have been. Jesus, even while living, was offensive. And yet we celebrate Christmas like it's the most wonderful time of the year. Do you see the double standard there? It's interesting to me. Had the privilege to go to one of the programs that our school put on, and the kids did a great job. They sang their little hearts out. It was fun to be there. And it's a rare thing for a school to ever have a truly Christmas song, isn't it? There was one in there about the little drummer boy. I doubt that anybody knew why he played that drum. But it was to honor the Lord. That was probably the only song, at least in the one particular one I went to, that was celebrating Christmas. Everything else was all side notes and stories and frostings on cakes. And it breaks my heart. We have been in places, our previous church and hometown, they sang some pretty powerful Christmas songs about the Lord, the child, Mary and Joseph. It was pretty cool to see that. I was like, wow, does this happen everywhere? And it's amazing. No one got sued. But we're so happy and so afraid to be sued today that we don't open our mouth and say what's true. Turn with me to Mark. You'll find this interesting. Mark chapter 3. Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him. Only in the hometown of a prophet and only in his own house is he not welcome or honored, I guess is the word he used. Well, here we have his family showing up to take charge of him. There's a problem. Jesus is getting out of hand. Can you imagine that? Jesus is getting out of hand. The one who's sinless is getting out of hand. I can just imagine James. It's about time. It's about time we got something on him. He's been making me look bad my whole life. You think your older brother or older sister helped you along or made you look bad? Can you imagine being Jesus' sibling? Why can't you be more like Jesus? Because he's God! Come on, that's not even fair. Of course he's going to do it the right way. He never does anything wrong. He's your favorite. Can you imagine that? Oh, wow. Just try to grasp that. Verse 22, and the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, he is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He's driving out demons. They can't explain this kid that grew up from this little town is now doing miracles. This guy that everybody knows is Joseph's son. He's just a builder. He's a tecton. You know, he doesn't do anything special. Don't we all know his mom? I mean, we know all his brothers and sisters. Well, hey, go get mom and the brothers and sisters. Tell them to come. Joseph's not around. We believe Joseph passed away somewhere along the way. We don't know how, but he's not around. Verse 23, so Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. They're calling him possessed by a devil to cast out devils? I mean, that's just dumb. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense at all, and Jesus points it out. Verse 28, if you tell the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he has an evil spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Bum, bum, bum. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. Why did they show up? They showed up to take charge of him. Jesus is getting out of hand. He's doing miracles. Well, I don't know what he's doing, but he shouldn't be doing it. Mom's coming along. Uh-oh. You got mom riled. Standing outside, they sent someone to call him. A crowd was sitting around him. They told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. And his response, who are my mother and my brothers? Then he looked at them, at those seated in a circle around him, and said, here are my mother and my brothers. In other words, you're my family. This is my family. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Does everyone love Jesus? No. As a matter of fact, only those who believe truly can love him. The world despises Jesus and everything he stands for. It's very rare for you to see any reference to Jesus during the Christmas season anymore. And yet we talk about the spirit of Christmas like it's some kind of thing for real. Well, if it is real, like I said before, it's demonic. Satan comes as an angel of light. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. If he can turn you away from the truth, if he can turn your focus on something other than Christ, he has achieved great victory. Jesus' own family tried to shut him down. Unsuccessfully, by the way. According to 1 Corinthians 1:23, we preach Christ crucified. It's a stumbling block. It is foolishness. It's interesting, we don't preach about the baby in the manger except for one time a year. Why is that? Because he came to die. He came to walk this earth as a man sinlessly so that he could die for you. And that's why we celebrate the virgin birth. It's important to celebrate Christmas. Don't get me wrong. It's very important. But let's make sure we're focused on the right reason. Everyone loves Christmas. No, everyone likes the make-believe Christmas. Christmas, in its truest sense, is offensive to all, except for those who believe. So don't be angry with the world when they don't want to say Christ in Christmas anymore. Of course they shouldn't want to. Why would they? Don't be upset when all you see is Rudolph and Santa Claus and the Elf movie. How many like Elf the movie? It's pretty funny. There's probably parts in there I shouldn't even point you in that direction, but it was funny. I enjoy it. It's good laughs. But that's not Christmas to me. And I hope it's not for you. If that's all you got, then shame on you. There's so much more. The Christmas story is not acceptable. Not to the world. And that's why it's been covered up. That's why it's been buried. It's why you don't even get Thanksgiving anymore. Now you got Black Friday on Thursday.
We were traveling on the way to see our kids and stopped at a Walmart to pick up some supplies, and they had all these boxes set up in these great big carts, all cellophane wrapped so nobody would take them. I was like, whoa, you guys are ready for Friday, aren't you? Oh, no. We start 6 o'clock Thursday night. I'm like, what? How dare you, I said. The poor girl, she's like, oh, well, we enjoy it. It's fun. I'm like, ugh. Really? You can't even give us Thanksgiving Day anymore? I wasn't like really angry, but I did say some harsh words. I was like, can you believe it? I said, man, we can't even have Thanksgiving anymore. Well, they've done a good job of hiding Christmas too. John chapter 1, let's close with this understanding. You want the best Christmas passage ever read? Well, to me, and my kids will tell you this, it's always every time I cannot read the story from Luke chapter 2 without first starting in John chapter 1. I will not ever give it up. And my kids know that, and I think the grandkids probably do already too. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says this very declaratively, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. I realize that's a really weird statement, and I do think it's because translation just doesn't do it justice. But here's the reality. All creation was created by Him. There is nothing else but what He's created. There is no other creation. The Word created the world. God created the world. The Word is Christ, and we know that because we keep reading. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The darkness has not understood it. Verse 10, it says, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Verse 12, yet to all who received Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Where is my mother? Where are my brothers? Here they are, the ones that have committed themselves to doing what I asked them. Those that follow me are my family. You are a child of God through Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross, not because of the manger of which He was placed for just a short time, but because of the death and the resurrection of our Savior. He came to His own, they didn't receive Him. Even His own family rejected Him. Later on, however, they got saved. Hallelujah. The book of James is Jesus' brother, by the way, in case you didn't know that. Mary was there on the day of Pentecost. The Word of God declares it. She was baptized in the Holy Spirit along with the rest of them, the 120. She needed a Savior just like we all do. Amen? The idea that Mary was sinless is a farce. It's a made-up man theory. It is a lie. She was sinful just like all of us are. She needed the Savior just like all of us do. She even tried to stop Him from healing people. And the evidence is there in the Word of God. Does that mean she's a bad person? No, she was a very good person. That's why God chose her. She was not righteous in and of herself, but she did submit to Christ and was born again. I love that song that Mark Lowry put out there, Mary, Did You Know? Probably my all-time favorite Christmas song because it declares a great truth. The one that she delivered would soon deliver her. Best line of the whole song right there. The Word became flesh, verse 14 says, made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father full of grace and truth. He is the reason for the season. He is Christmas. He is the one that we worship, the one that we celebrate. Everyone doesn't love Christmas. Everyone loves the idea of a Christmas. But they do not love the true Christmas because the true Christmas is offensive to the world. It's offensive to those who do not believe. Who are you to tell me there's only one way to heaven? I am not the one to tell you God is. It's right there in his word. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And the reason we have a way is because he was born from a virgin and that we can celebrate that he lived sinlessly and he went to a cross because I have sin. But he died for me. He was the Passover lamb. He was the one that takes away the sins of the world. And the reason I celebrate the baby is because he brought it to the cross. Now, I don't mind a love story from time to time. I can manage to sit through a Hallmark movie once in a while. It's tough. It's not an easy thing. It's a sacrifice. It's called love. I love you, Tina, right? I love you dearly. I'll watch this since you already got it started. God forbid that she'd ever start one while I'm in the room, because I don't know if I could do it. That's terrible. Don't believe the lies. That's not Christmas. It's a cool little love story. And if you missed that one, just watch the next one. It's the same one. Don't worry. It's on a loop. There's like 20 of them, but they're on a loop. They just keep rolling. But if you want to celebrate Christmas, you need to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Submit to him. Surrender to him. Recognize the way to the Father. Would you stand with me? Lord, we're thankful that we can celebrate you. Heavenly Father, you are to be honored and glorified at all times. Jesus, we're thankful that you came to this earth. We're thankful that you became flesh. As your word declares, even in Psalm, today I will be Father, today you will be Son. What a great statement. That you transformed yourself into human likeness. Miraculously, you were God and man at once. We know that Mary is fully human. Her egg was absolutely natural. And somehow, through the Holy Spirit, she was impregnated. It was cool. It was amazing. And sin was not passed down. The seed of Adam is how it's passed, but this was different. This was unique. This was a miracle that you did. And yet maintained somehow deity and humanity in one. It's beyond me. I can't completely get it. I don't understand it fully. I accept it by faith. And Lord, we're thankful that you grew up. You went through those diapers. You went through those toddling times where you bumped your mouth when you hit the ground. You went through the awkward stages of life as that adolescent going into manhood. Your voice cracked and made funny sounds, and you managed to get into the upperclassmen ages without sin. Wow. You went through those married ages of the 20s when everybody was getting hitched and you didn't. Somehow managed to make it through without sin and were able to maintain the precious lamb that you are. So that ultimately you would die because of me. Thank you. Thank you for loving us so much. May we always remember the reason that we celebrate Christmas, that we can truly honor you with this focus. That is offensive to everybody if they really knew it and understood the truth. But Lord, you also draw people by your message. And I pray that people would not be offended when they hear the true message of your gospel, but they'd be drawn to you. May we be tools in your hands to be able to draw people to a place that they would accept you as well. And I pray, God, that you will bless each one today as we go forth, as we prepare our hearts to receive and to bless during this Christmas time. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.